are in the midst of our What He Has Done sermon series, where we get to hear how God is moving in the life of somebody in our congregation. We get to hear their testimony, and then we get to open God's Word and see how He desires to move in our lives, maybe not in the same exact circumstances, but in a similar way. This morning, before I call our guest up, I want to get us all on the same page. We will be talking about joy, and in particular, biblical joy. And what is biblical joy, you might be asking? I found this definition online. I was unable to attribute it to one direct person, but I want us to be on the same page when we talk about joy. It is not joy when the Browns win or when the Steelers lose. I know we have some Steelers fans in here. We love you and forgive you for that. But this is biblical joy. A biblical definition of joy can be summarized as a deep spirit-produced contentment and gladness rooted in God's presence, promises, and salvation, rather than in changing circumstances. Do you have biblical joy? I believe that our guest this morning exudes that, and I'm so excited to hear from her this morning. Kim Musgrave, would you please come up, my friend? You're going to do awesome. Come on up, Kim. Amen.
Just in case. Sorry, gotta be prepared. Hi, I'm Kim. Thank you so much for inviting me to share my testimony here this morning. I've been a member of the chapel here in Green since about 2021, and I just can't tell you how thankful I am that God led me to this church. The special needs ministry is one of the reasons I started coming here, and it has been an immense blessing to our family and especially to my son with special needs. This picture is my family. We have a grandchild missing, but you know, kids, he was running around. The next picture is my angel Luke. Luke's in there in the wheelchair. Luke is 28 years old and the light of my life. Luke doesn't talk, but he does at times use his eye gaze device, and he tells me many times I want to go to church. He loves it here. He truly loves to join his friends in class. For those of you who don't know me very well, let me share a few things about me. I was raised in a loving home, and I had what I'd say was a pretty wonderful childhood. I had loving parents and a close family. As a kid, I never went to church. I really had virtually no awareness of what it meant to have faith in Jesus. Aside from going to church with a friend a few times and a blind belief that there was a God, I did not know what it was to be saved. When I met my husband when I was 20 years old, he's the one who introduced me to God, and I'm so thankful for that. After attending church with him for a while, I could see his strong faith, and I could see the joy of some of the women that I got to know, particularly one named Elaine. She was always smiling and joyful. I just thought, I want what she has. Soon after I was attending church, I decided to accept the Lord as my Savior. At that time of my life, I didn't really know what that faith in God meant, that you could have a relationship with Him. And since then, I've had two kids with my amazing husband of 36 years, Cliff, and I'm a mom to two wonderful young men, CJ, who's 31, and Luke, who says 28, and I've adopted by my heart their good friend Elijah and his wife Ching as my son and daughter. I'm also blessed to be soon to be mom-in-law to Courtney, and I'm super blessed to be grandma to three adorable grandchildren. So let me tell you a little bit more about one of the greatest joys of my life, my angel Luke. Luke has multiple disabilities, cerebral palsy, daily seizures, mitochondrial disease, along with several other health issues. My angel spends most of his day in his wheelchair, but he can walk with assistance, and he sure does love to walk. We do walk him at home using a harness system, but, and I say this with a heavy heart, unfortunately, an increase in daily seizures has made it. Made it dangerous for to walk him when he's away from home. The seizures and the medication side effects have led to many difficult circumstances. I don't think I could have made it through without Jesus helping me. So Luke gets most of his nutrition through a G-tube, though he can eat a little bit of pureed foods, and he gets lots of medications. So as I said, Luke does not talk, but oh, does he love to be talked to. Being social is one of his favorite things to do. That's why he loves everything here at the church. Despite all the struggles that he deals with daily, my Luke smiles through it all. He's really my inspiration. The reason I'm describing more about my son is because A, he's the reason I started coming to the chapel. And B, his journey has led me to lean on God more than I ever had before. Throughout Luke's life, he's had some really tough times. Times we thought we were going to lose him. He's had many long stays in the ICU, scary lung infections where he needed a machine to breathe, a time he was having 45 seizures a day, a season where he went through a major scary decline to the point he lost the ability to walk, to eat, and could not even sit up on his own. Thankfully, with the right treatment and lots of therapy, he worked to regain some of those things, though he never did get back to where he was before the decline. He's had a spinal fusion surgery and subsequent back infection that led him to the ICU for over a month and out of school for an entire school year, just to name a few of his struggles. As a mom, it's heart-wrenching to watch your child endure so much hardship. And health difficulties. It makes you really search your soul. It forces you to make a decision about whether you think you can actually endure this life without any faith in God, or if you'll finally surrender and trust God and give all your worries to Him. One of the first long ICU stays Luke had was when he was 4 years old. He was having 45 seizures a day, and after trying many things that just did not help, the doctor tried an induced coma in order to quiet his brain. Let me tell you, that is an incredibly difficult thing to watch your child go through. Just picture many tubes and wires. It's just hard. I will never forget, during that time, a strong Christian friend of mine wrote down two verses for me that I hold on to this day. One of the verses was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And she would pray with me. During that time was when God really entered my life and I learned to trust him. That's when I could really feel God was right there with me. I couldn't explain it. The peace I felt, I just knew he was with me. I learned to lean on him and trust him and to help me get through that and other hard times. And I've watched my miracle child, Luke, be held up by God over and over. And Luke recovered from that time. He even had a short period of less seizures. I'm so thankful that God has been so faithful every time, every health issue that Luke has had. Like during the decline that Luke went through between 8 and 9 years old, we were so scared. We did not know if this was going to take him away from us. I knew that I needed to trust God, and I did. I don't know how I would have gotten through that time without him. And he helped me to focus on the things that I could be thankful for, like the people that Luke brought into our lives because of what he was going through, the people who did a fundraiser for us to help us get a wheelchair van. God brought Luke through every crisis, and Luke continued to smile. Throughout my life and our journey with raising our kids and Luke being in and out of the hospital and health issues, I remember having times that I felt closer to God and times that I seemed to drift away from him. During the times that we were scared of losing Luke or struggling to understand why our angel was declining or to understand why we can never find a way to stop the seizures, I knew I needed to lean on God, and I did. Those were the times I felt closer to God. What God did in my life during those times helped me to be positive and joyful even through those hard times. I remember I'd feel such a relief when I would pray and give my worries to God, when I felt God tell me to trust him, that it was his perfect timing and not mine. I was so thankful for the people that got placed in my life to help me along the way. Somehow, even though I was so not perfect, he would give me the peace I needed and the joy of knowing that he had my son in his hands and would take care of him. But then there were times that I drifted away from him, not far away. I still had faith and I trusted him, but I didn't make God a priority in my life. Especially during those not so hard times. What's strange is I used to think that God didn't have time for all my little worries. I didn't share with him my daily stresses that would come up. I guess I thought God was there for me for my big struggles, but I didn't really talk to him about everything. But God had a plan. You know, I had long dreamed of finding a place that would be perfect for Luke, like this church. And that's when God led me to the special needs ministry here at the chapel, which then led me to my amazing friend Amy, who runs the special needs program, who invited me to start attending a Bible study small group that she was in. It had several other special needs moms in the group, so I decided to attend. And I'm so thankful for the ladies that God placed in my life through that. And this is where my journey with the Lord really took off and where I learned so much more about Jesus. I read and really understood so much more of God's word. In talking with my friends and learning, that's when I learned that having faith in Jesus was meant to be a relationship. I learned that I could talk to Jesus about everything, even in my little frustrations or my daily crazy schedule where I think I'm never going to get enough done, that I can talk to Jesus and know that he really cares and he wants to help me. During that time of my life, when I was starting to get closer to God, God placed my daughter Ching in our lives. She came to America to marry Elijah, my adopted son, and she stayed with us before they got married. Everything about her just shined her love for the Lord. When she decided to become an official caregiver to my Luke, we started spending so much time together. She also helped me to be closer to God because she talked of him daily. We've had many heart-to-heart discussions, and I could see what God was doing in her life, her personal relationship with Jesus. And because she inspired me to know him better, I could feel that my relationship with God got even deeper. So my gals in our class, Shelley dubbed us the gals, and my sweet Ching have been such a big part of where I am today in my faith. I'm so thankful for the people God's placed in my life. It's amazing the difference it makes in your happiness level when you talk to Jesus and about Jesus in your daily life. But still, I fall back into my worrying thing. Even though I know God has us in his hands, but I keep working on myself. I need reminders sometimes. Like when I was struggling, Luke was struggling with seizure medication changes, and I had to watch every day as Luke looked like a zombie, not participating in life. It was so hard to watch him not be himself and not enjoy life. I remember we were doing a Bible study during that time that really, truly helped me remember that I could fully trust that God had a plan. And even though I did not understand why this was happening, I could trust him. I was so thankful for the support and the prayers of my gals during that time, and thankful for my husband, my rock, who supports me through everything. I was so thankful for God's guidance to make the decision to stop the zombie med despite better seizure control. It's hard to make those decisions as parents, but quality of life is the decision God led us to. And I came out of that time stronger with a renewed connection to God, and he held me up even when I felt like I was falling. One of the things that I wanted to add is that I've learned to be very good at being thankful for everything God has given me, for every circumstance, for every person he's placed in my life, just everything. It's amazing how keeping focused on finding things to be thankful for helps that the mess all around you just become blurry. And God has really helped me to keep a thankful heart no matter what life throws at me. And this is how I can live a joyful life, because of what God has done. And while I know that God is still working on me, I do try, in the meantime, to encourage others every chance I get and to tell them how much God helps me. And I try to shine God's light in all I do so that they can also have the joy in their life like I do. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much for sharing how the Lord is working in your life. And it's so amazing to read and to hear her testimony in light of the circumstances that she's in. When you see Kim and Luke in the hallway and you talk with them, just the joy of the Lord is just so evident in their lives. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the joy of the Lord. How does that become evident in our lives? And we're going to be in the book of Philippians, which is oftentimes nicknamed the Epistle of Joy. We're going to be working through Philippians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, either your physical or on your phone or whatever, you can turn there with me as we work our way through Philippians chapter joy. So Kim talked about this, but biblical joy, right? Joy that we have in light of our circumstances, not in spite of our circumstances. It's found in Christ. Foundational joy, right? I love this verse in Philippians chapter 4. It reads like this. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." And then it follows up in verse 5. It says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." We are to rejoice in the Lord always. Notice it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. It says rejoice in the Lord always. That means no matter what circumstances we might find ourselves in, we're to rejoice in the Lord. And that foundation is found, right, in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you know him and he knows you, it gives us the supernatural ability to do what this verse commands us to do. Because the reality is that it is supernatural to rejoice in the Lord always. Looking out at you guys, and frankly, just looking in the mirror, I know that circumstances in our lives will often try to take us away from this verse. They can be relational, they can be health-related, financial-related. There's all sorts of things that come into our life that make us have difficulty living this verse out. The beauty is that the Apostle Paul is, when he's writing this letter, he's not writing it from a position of his head in the clouds, right? He's under house arrest as he's writing this letter. Yet the Lord is working through him to encourage us, right, to rejoice in the Lord always, regardless of our circumstances. I love it when Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Is that real for you? My prayer for you is that if that's not real for you, that this morning would be a wake-up call, that it would become real. And just like our joy is found in Christ, it is to be rooted in Christ. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 reads like this, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Doesn't that describe Kim's testimony? Rooted in Christ, the Bible study she was in, being taught, abounding in thanksgiving. What a testimony each and every one of us can have with others in our lives when we live this verse out. It's one of the beautiful things about having joy that is found and rooted in Christ, is the testimony that we give to the world around us. Joy, believe it or not, does not stand on its own. It's a pathway, or provides a pathway to peace. I don't know about you guys, but when I think about the people in my life who most show the joy of Christ, they typically show the peace of Christ as well, right? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 reads like this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace is a companion to joy. Romans 15, 13 reads like this: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." When we are ambassadors of joy, we also are ambassadors of peace. And if you've lived life for any amount of time, amen, you will have opportunities to be an ambassador of joy and peace. When I thought about this, I thought about how his presence, not our present condition, allows us to be an ambassador of joy, to show that peace. Personally, I had the opportunity for 2 years to be a hospice chaplain. So I got a chance to walk alongside families as they were with their family members in their final months, weeks, and days of life. And the families that often had a greatest impact on me were those who had this supernatural joy and this supernatural peace when facing the death of their loved ones. My prayer and my hope was that I got a chance to be a blessing to them and to every family that I got a chance to walk alongside. But there was something very special about those two or three families in particular that had this supernatural peace and joy despite the present condition that they found themselves in. Isaiah 26 and 3 says this: "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." I hope you guys see some of the themes that we're drawing out of the scriptures and how they match with Kim's testimony, right? We keep our mind stayed on Christ. We're focused on Christ. It allows us to put our trust in him. It gives us supernatural peace, peace that doesn't make sense. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." When Christ's peace rules in our hearts, it allows us to be thankful even in some of the worst circumstances. It allows us to be a witness to him to a lost and dying world in ways that are totally otherworldly, right? I've seen this in so many people here when their world should be crumbling. It should be falling apart. They are able to be a witness to Christ's peace in their heart. So his peace is present in his presence, not our current condition. And his peace and joy, amen, is learned in his presence. Philippians 4 and 8 reads like this: "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." His joy is learned in his presence. Are you thinking about these things? That's one of the most difficult things that we have to do in our present world. We are inundated with bad news. In fact, we're inundated with everything that is the opposite of what this verse says. If you have a cell phone, right, a smartphone, you have the ability to get bad news 24/7. I was talking with somebody earlier this week, and we were just talking about what a blessing it was to grow up before the advent of the smartphone. The ability to get lost, the ability for mom and dad not to know exactly where I was at all times, the ability not to know or be inundated with information all the time, to know exactly about this that was not only going on around the corner, but what was going on in Arizona or Florida or California or Texas. I think we have to be very wise in what we allow ourselves to be consumed with. Amen. It's okay, and I'm speaking to myself because I think my wife is here. She would be like, you better be preaching this to yourself. It's okay to put your phone down, all right? Amen. It's okay to turn the news off, right? Why am I so passionate? Why do I care so deeply about who's the mayor of a city that I visit once every 5 years, right? Why am I so passionate? Why do I care so much about this that's going on over here, unless I'm going to be taking it in prayer to the Lord? I need to make sure that, right, I am focusing on these things. And how do we focus on these things? It's through relationship, right? Relationship with the Lord first and foremost, and then relationship with the people that God has placed in our lives. Like Kim said, her gals, right? The gals that she placed in her life, right? For our brothers and sisters in Christ that help us keep focused on these things. Joy is practiced, right? Amen. It's practiced through partnership. We're not to be Lone Ranger Christians, right? I know that there are some of us in here that are too young to know who the Lone Ranger is. But that means we're not to practice it alone, right? We're not to practice joy. God didn't give us joy. He didn't give us peace, right? This supernatural trust and contentment in who He is, no matter what our circumstances are, to just be practiced in and of ourselves, right? But we're to have that and then give it away. That's one of the things that I love about Kim and her testimony, is that I can attest that I have, when I get a chance to see her in Luke, the joy that she has is given away. Even, I don't care if it's a 30-second, a minute and a half, a minute conversation with her in the hallway, the joy of the Lord, it's evident in her life and is given away even in that short amount of time. There's many of you guys in here that I can personally attest that it's the same thing with you. The joy of the Lord, it's so evident in your life that when I get a chance to talk to you, speak to you, greet you, you're giving it away. So it's practiced through partnership. It's practiced through small groups. It's practiced through women's ministry, men's ministry, where we serve. Philippians 2:2 reads like this, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. And Hebrews 10:24-25 reads like this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Joy helps stir up good works. Amen. When we have a godly joy, we stir each other up in a good way. That's a litmus test, right? We can stir each other up in a good way or a bad way, right? I know I've been guilty of both. Amen. And if you're breathing and you're looking at me, I know you've been guilty of both too, right? But we want to stir each other up to good works, right? And we do that in not neglecting meeting together, like you guys that are here and those that are, you know, maybe physically can't be here, but they're watching online. But we stir that up in meeting together in small groups, meeting together in our women's groups or our men's groups, meeting together to serve one another. We get a chance to practice joy in that way. And finally, this joy is learned, godly joy that is learned in His sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3:5, 12 through 9 reads like this: not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency, where is it from? It's from God. 12 and 9 out of 2 Corinthians reads like this: but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Godly joy knows the source. It's when we go through these circumstances that we get a chance to lean into the sufficiency of Christ. Because we know that's the only way, right? It's the only way that we would have joy in that particular circumstance. We've heard powerful testimonies week after week, right, this summer. And we know that the only way that those folks, each and every person that's come up here, and that includes any of us that are coming after them and opening God's word and getting into that, is through the power of God. It's His power that we gain through a relationship with His Son that empowers us and equips us to live out a life filled with godly joy. So I want you guys to, even right now, as I'm finishing up this short devotional or sermon after Kim's testimony, to think, how can I live out godly joy? Am I doing that? Am I doing that at home? Am I doing that in the workplace? Am I doing that at school? Am I doing that when I've got to go to the doctor's office? I have to go to the dentist tomorrow, okay? So I have an opportunity, right? I was thinking about this. I have an opportunity to live out godly joy at somewhere I'm not looking forward to going to tomorrow. But the reality is that each and every one of us has an opportunity in our relationships, where God takes us and places us, to live out a life that is found to show godly joy. Not in spite of what we're going through, but in light of what we're going through.